let's get right into it and hear some recently recorded music from Floozy.
This is a song called Hernando's Hideaway. It's a cover tune from a musical called Pajama Game, but we play it really differently from the musical version. You go. You'll meet your Uncle Max and everyone you know. But if you go to the spot that I am thinking of, you will be free to gaze at me and talk alone. Just knock three times and whisper low that you and I were sent by Joe. Then strike a match and you talk of love. Just knock three times and whisper low that you and I were sent by Joe. Then strike a match and you will know you're in Hernando's Hideaway. Olé. This is a song called La Bruja. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Thank you.
But we're here with Lauren Addario, Bronson Elliott, and Tanya Nunez to celebrate and hear about album number two from the band, which is called His Name is Fabio, which is rolling out in September, right?
That's great.
How long has it been since Open Can of Super Days came out? How many years do we go back now?
2 years. It's been 2 years, yep.
Okay, and these are 2 years that were very, very busy. I know I would send you emails going, where is this record you're working on? And you were always too busy because you were gigging a lot. So, you know, it's always interesting when we get to sit down with bands to find out how they navigated growing an audience and reaching multiple markets. Can you kind of give us a sense of how you went about doing it?
I'm getting the finger, so I suppose I should be talking.
This is Tanya Nunez.
The index finger.
Okay.
You normally
yeah,
hear
the pointer. The pointer is headed my
way. Banjo so. And vocals.
Yes. Geez. Wow. Well, after we put out Open Can of Super Days, things just started rolling. We started getting a lot of requests for really cool opportunities. We performed at Santa Fe Bandstand, State Fair, the Balloon Fiesta, a lot of things around here, and so we decided we wanted to see if we could go play at South by Southwest. So we put out the word and tried to find some gigs there, and ended up playing that year a couple of shows, and started playing up in Taos and played a little bit in Santa Fe. So yeah, things just kind of, you know, I guess picked up a little momentum from the first album.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of fun with that. But, you know, playing that much leaves barely enough time to really prepare for studio and plan for studio time.
And to write new material. But I yeah. imagine, you know, this is even before Lauren came on board, that working out that much in so many different rooms, it must have changed sort of your dynamic together mm-hmm. as musicians.
For sure, yeah. it's always different playing with different musicians, for sure. But Bronson and I had spent a lot of time, I guess over the last year, working on these new songs. I'm thinking at least half of them are, you know, fairly new mm-hmm. over the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we just worked together. And then when we started playing with Lauren, they did certainly shape up to be a little differently than, you know, played differently than they were before.
Now you and Lauren actually go way, way back to high school in Las Vegas.
No. Highlands University. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Highlands University yeah. in mm-hmm. Las Vegas. And this was a time when your drummer and also a co-songwriter had moved on.
Mm-hmm.
So can you just give us a little bit of that story, because it's pretty fascinating how this happened.
Go ahead, Lauren.
Sure. So Tanya and I knew each other in Las Vegas in the early 90s, probably 92 to 95 or so. And I was playing in bands and Tanya was playing music, but we were friends and we would jam together in her basement on 8th Street. And we had a lot of fun. And then Tanya graduated and went on, and we remained friends and remained in touch. But I guess it was November mm-hmm. of 2014. They needed a drummer for a performance in Taos, and Tanya said, "Hey, wait a minute. I know a drummer."
And she's just in Las Vegas.
And she's in Las Vegas. And so she reached out to me. It happened to be really, really good timing for me because I really was looking for some creative outlet at that point. And I was really happy to get the call and, of course, to be reconnected with Tanya. We hadn't talked in a few years. So it was super fantastic.
And so you, Lauren, you sort of walked into a band that was already there and already, it's like a turnkey opportunity.
It was a ready-made.
A ready-made, exactly. Well, the songs, no song is ever ready-made, which is why I started out on this path. So, Bronson, Elliot, I want to hear about some of these songs because your own life has been quite happy, but you're a very nasty songwriter, I must say.
Really?
Yeah, I hear some wonderful nastiness. In a good way.
In
some of these songs. So, where do these songs come from, and how are they developed here?
Well, I might have to talk about specific songs, but I mean, in general, sometimes I get song ideas from, you know, wacky YouTube videos that people send around and around, and weird news stories, or people
there
I know saying strange things.
I was in the back alley, behind a bar, smoking cigarettes, smelling dumpster smells, crying over you. There he was with a shopping cart. He saw me there through a chain link fence, smoking cigarettes, crying over you. He said, "Your girl, are you okay? You can call me Rocky, oh, that's my name." I could see the ghost of gloves on his hands. Yo, said he had Olympic medals and all. He wore an old sweater and a stocking cap. I could see him running those famous steps, Philadelphia punching at the air. His breath like smoke, cold morning mist. Yo, Adrian, what did you think when you
And that's pretty refreshing.
Hence the finale song on this album, You Talk My Face Off.
Oh, yeah.
Now, let's talk a little bit about musical form, because you're not a folk band, and you have a rock side to you. But what I am hearing is, maybe it was the first song that I heard from you that really sparked my interest, was actually not an original from you. It was that cover of Fernando's Hideaway. And there was this, you know, the way the rhythm was working, the way the instrumentation was working. This was coming from a very different place from folk triads and rock stuff. And I get the sense that that's continued in the structure, the musical structures that you're using on at least a few of these songs. That has to be a matter of all of you working something out, I imagine. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I think I might have Tanya talk about that a little bit, because she really influences the structure of songs a lot, and she has a really good sense of, well, she can listen to a song and then she has a sense of it, like a big picture sense of the song that I don't have. And so she can take a song and do really crazy, unexpected things. I mean, they're unexpected to me, but really interesting things to them. And so why don't you talk about that, Tanya?
Well, I think before I even play anything or try to write any of the music or arrange any of the songs, I usually stop myself from going to my instrument and talk to Bronson about, learning more about the song. And I try to, you know, just really get to, what is this about? What is this story? What is the emotion? What are the characters doing? You know, what are the problems here? Where's it going? And then I approach the music from that angle. You know, Bronson already has a melody, usually a pretty strong, definite melody that's not going to change. She usually has chord changes already. But then I take those and I say, why don't we try something else? Mm-hmm. Sometimes. Or I use what she's brought me and then I create other parts. So, you know, as you probably noticed, the songs might have an A, B, and C, or maybe even A, B, C, and D. Maybe four different defined parts that have, different chord changes, maybe even different rhythms, maybe even different styles.
Incorporated into a single song.
Into a single song. And I guess I feel like these are our creations, and I wouldn't be honoring the songwriter if I didn't really think about the song and what it's about.
Rolling. This is a floozy original song called This Pig. It was inspired by a poem by Philip Levine called Animals Are Passing From Our Lives. And Tanya reads that poem towards the end of the song, and which is part of the song. Enjoy.
Wild boars are roaming Germany. There's more and more each year. They're tearing up the gardens there and chasing kids up trees. They're wandering on highways, closing traffic down for hours. They'll crash through someone's living room and then knocked out someone's power. They say they're shy, but I've heard the noises that they make when eating food they stole from someone's picnic on a lake. This hairy he will sleep in your box, and he will raise his piglets next to yours. He will eat from your trash in your garden. That's his pride, that's your bedroom window. This hairy pig, he will sleep in your box, and he will raise his piglets next to yours. He will eat from your trash in your garden. That he ain't going nowhere. He ain't going nowhere. It started when the wall came down. They came over. The food is better in the West. They're very intelligent beasts. The government hired hunters to cull the population. They take one out with just one shot. up with their umbrellas and their kit. This hairy piggy will sleep in your box, and he will raise his piglets next to yours. He will eat from your trash in your garden, that's his breath at your bedroom window. This hairy piggy will sleep in your box, and he will raise his piglets next to yours. He will eat from your trash in your garden, but he ain't going nowhere. He ain't going nowhere.
Typewriter, or squeal like a new housewife discovering television, or that I'll turn like a beast cleverly to hook his teeth with my teeth. No, not this pig.
You've been listening to Floozy recorded live in Studio A. On February the 16th, recording by Ethan Stein, some editing by Eli Willard, Floozy R, Bronson Elliott, lead vocals, guitar, and accordion, Tanya Nunez, upright bass, vocals, banjo, and readings, Lauren Addario on drums.